In the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Today in the church calendar, today is known as Laudate Sunday. It means Rejoice Sunday. It's kind of a lighter day in Advent as we are preparing for the coming of the Lord. It's why we light the pink candle. And if you listen to the first three readings, it's all about rejoicing, isn't it? Zephaniah tells the people of Israel to rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, again I say rejoice. And you're thinking, oh, this is going to be a good day, isn't it? And then you do the first song of Isaiah. And what does he talk about but rejoicing? Rejoice in the Lord always, again I say rejoice. And you're thinking, okay, this is getting really good. And then you hear Paul's letter. And how does he open it up this morning? Rejoice in the Lord always, again I say rejoice. And you're thinking, you know, I'm kind of liking Rejoice Sunday. Isn't it a nice Sunday? Kind of lifts all our burdens and focuses us on thanking God. Rejoice, rejoice, again I say rejoice. And then we get Luke's gospel. And then we get John standing out on the banks of the Jordan River. And we have John. Is he talking about rejoicing? No. You brood of vipers, he says. Oh, gosh, isn't that a great way to invite you all to come and be baptized? Come on, be baptized, you brood of vipers. Who told you you were going to escape the wrath of God? You got to admit, if you were standing there on the banks of the Jordan with John, you'd be going, maybe not today. Maybe another day when he's in a better mood. Because I don't like being called a brood of vipers, and I don't like being told that I'm chaff and I'm going to be swept into the unquenchable fires. This is not what I'm after. The people were in a panic. And so the regular people who were there, they came to John and they said, wait a minute. What exactly are we supposed to do? Because you just basically told us we were vipers. And he says the exact same thing to them that we teach our children in kindergarten. Share your cookies. Isn't that what we tell our kids? I mean, he tells them, if you've got two coats, your neighbor doesn't have any, give one of the coats to the other one. I mean, for God's sakes, what are you going to do with two coats, right? And if your neighbor doesn't have any food and you do, feed them. Isn't that what we teach our children? Share your cookies. And then the tax collectors come. Now, you have to understand the status of tax collectors to understand what he's saying here. In those days, the Roman Empire always hired natives to collect taxes from natives. They never sent in a foreigner to do the actual tax collecting. So, Lois, if you owed $100 to the Roman Empire, it would be a native tax collector who would come to you. But every tax collector was known for a little bit of extortion. So if you owed 100, you're going to give me 150. Or I'm going to mark you down as not paying your taxes, and I'm going to let the Romans have you. And then the Romans can have their 100, and I get to keep the other 50. So tax collectors were known as cheats. And so they come to John, and they say, so what are we supposed to do? And he says to them, don't take more than your fair share. Play fair. Isn't that what we teach our children? Play fair. No cheating allowed. And then the soldiers who were there. The soldiers come to John because now they're terrified. Now you need to know in those days, the Roman Empire never put soldiers in their homelands. So if you were a Palestinian and you decided to join the Roman army, which would be pretty weird to begin with, the odds are very high that you would be sent very far away from your own people. Because how are you going to put down an uprising among your own people? So no matter where you came from, you never served there. You always served over here. So that these soldiers who come to John and say, what should we do? These soldiers are not native to the area. These are foreigners. And they're a little worried. And so John says to them, no bullying allowed. Don't take more than what the law allows. In those days, Roman soldiers had certain rights. So they could pluck you out of a crowd and say, Evan, you have to carry my backpack for one stadia, 1 mile, in essence. Okay? You have to carry it for me because I'm just tired and I don't want to do it. So here, carry it for me. And by law, you had to do that. Now, in another gospel, Jesus teaches us that if a soldier asks you to carry the pack for a mile, you go one more. That's where the expression go the extra mile comes from. Jesus says, if you're required to do one, do two, just to be kind. And John says to them, no bullying. You do not get to extort money from them. It's kind of like if a cop pulls you over somewhere and he says, okay, now you've got a ticket, Judy. And if you pay me the $50 right here and now, I'll never put this on your record. That's known as extortion. And John says to him, stop doing that. Don't extort money from people. You do your job and you be fair. No bullying allowed. Now, isn't this exactly what we teach our children? Share your cookies. Play fair. No bullying. So we teach them in kindergarten. And that is what John is telling them. That's all they need to do. And it's what he's telling us. This is all that we need to do. Kind of sounds like that Advent of Kindness calendar that I passed out last week. Remember where it says, say something nice to the person who serves you. Let somebody else cut in front of you in line. Errol and I were up in Rapid the other day to see Tony Young at the hospital. And of course, we had to go to Walmart because, well, it's Walmart. And we had shopping to do. We had to go and get the food for the Glory program and some other shopping. We get all done, and I've got a cart that's pretty full, but it's divided because I've got this is the Glory stuff, this is my personal stuff. And, you know, it's not piled totally high, but it was there. And a man gets in line behind us, and he's got 3 whole items. And I looked at him, and I said, sir, is that all you've got, those 3 things? And he said, yeah. And I said, oh, please go ahead of me. I said, I've got to divide this into 2 separate charges, and it's going to take a while. Please, you just have 3 things. And at first, he was like, no, it'll be all right. And then he said, oh, I thank you. And I turned to Errol, and I said, yes, I did one of my Advent acts of kindness where it said to let somebody else get in front. Yeah, I'm feeling good. That's basically the lesson that John is trying to teach us today. And frankly, it's not that hard to do if we think about it. But I'm confident that John is not limiting his request to just our small world and our small lives. I mean, he wants us to be good to our families. He wants us to share with our immediate neighbors. But if you think about it, we need to act bigger than that. To give food to a stranger or your coat. To not bully somebody who's different from you, whom you don't know, who's not from around here. It's a much bigger thing. We can't just stop with, I'm going to let that man with only 3 items cut in line in front of me and feel like I've done all my Advent kindnesses for the month of Advent. That's kind of not how it works. We have to expand. Because if we are really going to be followers of Jesus, the Jesus who is coming to us in 9 days, if we really want to show that we are followers of Jesus, we have to act on a larger scale. Because Jesus didn't just come for you and me. Jesus came for all of us. And so acting on a larger scale means we have to pay attention to a lot more things, and we have to act on them. Like Jacqueline Ka, the 7-year-old girl from Guatemala. She and her father and 161 other people came to the border, went immediately to the border office and said, we are claiming asylum. Now, our law and international law says that they can claim asylum, at least have their claims heard. 18 hours after she and her father turned themselves in, she was dead. And initially, Border Patrol said, oh, it's because her father didn't give her any food or water for several days. But now the father is saying, yes, we did. And she was fine when we entered your custody. It was 8 hours later that she got sick. And it was 9 hours after that that she died. Are we welcoming strangers in our midst or not? Or are we only welcoming the ones who come with the right color skin and who speak the right language? And we can act on this. We can call our senators and our representative, and we can ask them to act. We can write. We can, if we're really lucky, and none of us here, I think, are going to do this, but we can go down to the border. There are a bunch of Episcopal bishops and clergy down on the border right now. They're at Tornillo, at the detention center, which is a big camp in the middle of the desert, where the government is holding 3,000 children. And there are another 12,000 children the government is holding around this country for an average of 72 days each. Whether we like our government or not, this is our government. And so we need to act. We need to look at what Jesus tells us to do, and we need to decide what we can do. On Tuesday, 35 clergy members, well, there are actually several hundred, but the front row of them were 35 clergy members, and they were very close to the Tornillo camp. And the police came out, and it was Standing Rock all over again. They came out with all their weapons, and I mean, they were weaponized up for war. And there's still nothing but a bunch of people from all faiths who are standing there praying. And the cops said, one more step. And we're going to have to take action. So the front row of 35 looked at each other and said, one more step. And they stepped forward and they knelt down and they prayed. And while they were praying, they were all arrested. They were on public land. Does that not sound like Standing Rock? Sounds exactly what happened at Standing Rock. We were upset when it happened at Standing Rock. Are we going to be upset when it happens in Tornillo? Our call as followers of Jesus is multi-level. How we treat each other. How do we greet each other in the streets or in the grocery lines, in our houses, in our places of worship? And then it goes above that. How do we treat strangers who are in our midst? How do we treat the rest of the people in the world? That's what John's call is all about. When John is telling us that we need to repent, he's not saying, you got to say you're sorry. Repentance isn't just saying you're sorry. Repentance is turning your life around so that you can walk towards God. And that's what we're called to do. And we can't walk towards God if we allow people to suffer in our midst. So each of us has a small part. But when you add all those small things together, you know, it's like the bankers and the government people say, billion here, billion there, pretty soon you're talking real money. A kindness here, a kindness there, and pretty soon we've changed the world. As we prepare for the coming of God in our midst, Emmanuel in our midst, let us think about what it means to welcome, because he came as a stranger and as a poor baby, born to poor parents, who within days of his birth had to flee to Egypt, seeking asylum across a state border. How are we going to welcome Jesus in our midst? Amen.